Hi, I'm James Dickey, senior counsel for the Upper Midwest Law Center, Minnesota's nonprofit public interest law firm that fights for liberty and the rule of law. Welcome back to Minnesota Law Weekly, where we update you on important developments on legal issues in Minnesota and how we at UMLC are your voice fighting for you in the courts. Today, we are discussing the recent petition filed in the Minnesota Supreme Court seeking to keep former President Trump off of Minnesota's 2024 primary and general election ballots, and also our new lawsuit against the Don't Say Felon speech code created by the legislature to shut down certain political speech in the days leading up to Minnesota elections. First, the elephant in the room, so to speak. On September 12th, several Minnesota voters, including former Secretary of State Joan Grow and former Minnesota Supreme Court Justice Paul H. Anderson, filed a petition in the Minnesota Supreme Court that seeks to keep former President Donald J. Trump off of Minnesota's ballots for the 2024 election. The theory of the case is that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment bars any person from office who has participated in a rebellion or insurrection against the United States. The petitioners argue that the events of January 6, 2021, and President Trump's efforts to fight the outcome of the election in states like Georgia and Arizona were an insurrection or rebellion, and therefore Trump is disqualified from office. The text of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, says as follows: "No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability." I respectfully disagree with the petitioners in this lawsuit that former President Trump can be kept off of Minnesota's ballot based on this constitutional provision. There are several reasons why. First, throughout our country's history, the President of the United States has always been the person to call forth the militia when an actual insurrection or rebellion takes place. That is what happened when in 1794, whiskey producers objected to a tax which led to the Whiskey Rebellion. That rebellion resulted in substantial violence across the western portion of the country at that point, including western Pennsylvania. At one point, an angry mob, as part of the Whiskey Rebellion, marched to drums to the home of a wealthy landowner and tax collector and fought with American soldiers for hours, and then set fire to buildings, which led to the soldiers surrendering. President Washington then had to call forth the militia to put down the rebellion. Washington assembled more than 12,000 men from surrounding states and eastern Pennsylvania as federal militia to stop it. On January 6th, Trump was the president of the United States. He was the sitting president, and he clearly did not label the actions of the rioters at the Capitol a rebellion. It seems a very bad idea to allow local officials and secretaries of state and state courts to decide who can be on the ballot based on this concept of insurrection or rebellion, when throughout our nation's history, the sitting president has been responsible for labeling an insurrection as such. Likewise, in the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln clearly had a substantial rebellion on his hands and called forth the American military to quell it. These are insurrections. These are rebellions. But the actions of the mob on January 6th are nowhere near the near revolution that the Whiskey Rebellion represented or the Civil War itself. There is no way that the actions of January 6th constitute a rebellion or insurrection, as many media figures have continued to say. One point to also consider is that President Trump himself had offered National Guard troops to the Capitol Police to ensure the safety of the Capitol on January 6th, but he was turned down. How could the person who offered to protect the Capitol and who did not do any of the storming of the Capitol himself be considered to have engaged in a rebellion or insurrection? There are other major problems with the theory presented by the petitioners in this lawsuit, one of which is that in the only case to directly consider the meaning of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment near the time of its passage, the sitting Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court held that Congress had to enact legislation to enforce the provisions of Section 3, and that it was not a standalone provision that existed to bar people from office for all time if they participated in what a local court might call a rebellion or an insurrection. This is strong original evidence showing that Congress has to take action before anyone could possibly be removed from a ballot for federal office. My final point here is that Congress itself has, in fact, taken action to remove the impact of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You'll recall above that I read that portion of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which says that Congress can remove the disabilities. Well, Congress did that by passing the Amnesty Acts of 1872 and 1895 by more than the two-thirds majority, which took disqualification from office off the table. In those acts, there was no statement that disqualification from office was removed only for those who had fought against the Union in the Civil War. It appears that these acts were intended to be open-ended, and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment may be a dead letter. The United States Supreme Court has put it well and stated that the right to vote freely for the candidate of one's choice is of the essence of a democratic society, and any restrictions on that right strike at the heart of representative government. This is a serious statement by the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the attempt to remove former President Trump from the ballot cannot be taken lightly. We do expect the Minnesota Supreme Court to reject this particular challenge. And in any event, while likely, whether Trump ends up on the ballot as a Republican nominee remains to be seen. Moving on to more UMLC-specific news, I told you in our last episode that more lawsuits were set to come because of the legislature's actions in the 2023 session. Just on September 11th, we filed a new federal lawsuit challenging a new Minnesota law that restricts free speech around election-related issues, including speech about the eligibility to vote in Minnesota elections. The law, which took effect June 15, 2023, imposes criminal and civil penalties on individuals who knowingly make materially false statements within 60 days of an election with the intent to impede or prevent another person from exercising their right to vote. The penalties include fines and the potential to be sued by the Attorney General and county attorneys or any person who claims to be injured by speech in civil court. The plaintiffs in our case include the Minnesota Voters Alliance and several other grassroots political activists who argue that this new speech code, the Don't Say Felon Law, potentially criminalizes political speech during a crucial time leading up to an election. Additionally, the new law poses a threat to political discourse and inhibits the democratic exchange of ideas. We call this law the Don't Say Felon Law because the author of the law provided, as an example to a reporter back in March 2023, that the law was aimed at stopping people from saying, you're a felon and you can't vote. The problem is that our clients believe that those who have been convicted of felonies and have not yet been discharged from their sentences do not have the right to vote under the Minnesota Constitution. And they've even brought a lawsuit to ask the courts to decide what the Minnesota Constitution means on this issue. There is no place under the First Amendment for laws that tell people what they can and cannot say leading up to an election about difficult political issues. And when those laws give power to partisan officials and political opponents anywhere in the state to bring lawsuits against people for their speech based on their own false claim that our clients or others like them made a false statement, the First Amendment is gravely injured. We look forward to the federal court in Minnesota striking down this law for good. That's it for this week on Minnesota Law Weekly. You can learn more about the Upper Midwest Law Center by visiting umlc.org, and you can also make a confidential, tax-deductible donation on our website or by sending us a check to 8421 Wayzata Boulevard, Suite 300, Golden Valley, Minnesota 55426. And we would urge you to do that. We are fully donor-supported and charge our clients nothing. We are standing up for you in court and want to fight for you on every front. Help us do more for you by making a donation today. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.